Welcome to ID the Future. I'm Sarah Chaffee. Today we'll be listening to part one of a lecture Casey Luskin gave on the taxonomy of information. He explains various ways of defining information and whether or not they are helpful for making a design inference. He also examines syntactic information, Shannon information, and Kolmogorov information.
We now have the privilege of hearing from Casey Luskin. I'll just announce his title. It's A Taxonomy of Information and the Design Inference. So let's welcome Casey.
All right, thank you. So this is a talk that I gave 3 years ago at an American Scientific Affiliation conference. And when David told me that the topic of this conference was going to be information, I thought, this is a good fit for this talk. It's basically a review of the different kinds of information that are out there and which ones are most useful for making the design inference and why. So let's jump into this talk because I've got way too many slides and way too little time. An outline, what is information? I'm probably going to define this in a way that nobody's going to agree with just because there's so many different ideas out there. But I am somewhat of a student of Bill Dembski on this. We're going to look at syntactic information. What is that? Shannon information, what is that? Is it useful for defining information? Kolmogorov information, and how do we define that? And is it a useful definition for measuring information in terms of making a design inference? Same for semantic information, what is that? And is it useful for making a design inference? And then finally, complex and specified information and the design inference. And then we'll look a little bit at the whole big question of, is this whole design inference thing got to the gaps? Is it science, et cetera, et cetera? So which definition is most useful for making the design inference? And there's a lot of room for healthy discussion here. You know, whenever you criticize evolution, they always say, well, we all agree that evolution occurred, we just disagree on the mechanism. And I would say to some critics of ID, we all agree that design occurred, we just disagree on sometimes the best way to detect it. And so I think that that is a fair characterization of how things are in the ID movement. So what is information? Well, it's not always easy to define. There's many definitions out there. It often involves a measure of the degree of randomness. I like this one. I think that the fundamental intuition behind information is a reduction in possibilities. You're reducing uncertainty. So the more information you have, the more possibilities you have eliminated. So there you go. The more possibilities rule out, the more information you have conveyed. So nature can produce information, but so can intelligent agents. So to put it another way, the reduction in uncertainty could occur by an intelligent agent or through physical occurrence. Of course, that physical occurrence might be programmed by an intelligent agent, but it doesn't have to be the direct action of an intelligent agent. What do I mean? Well, if it's nature, blue sky will reduce the uncertainty about whether it is raining, okay? So you look up, you see blue sky, and it's not raining. At least it shouldn't be. If there are 18 people playing baseball outdoors, that also reduces the uncertainty about whether it is raining, except in Seattle, people might just play baseball whether it's raining or not. So you can learn things by what you observe, and that can help you reduce uncertainty. So that's sort of a very basic idea of the gist behind information. Well, what is syntactic information? Syntactic information is information that typically involves the use of a sequence of symbols. It uses a set of characters or symbols or some other set of items. The symbols are put into a sequence where the symbols are drawn from a fixed symbol set, and there's one symbol at each position. This is typically what we mean by syntactic information. So examples would be written language, binary code, computer language. So if you can read this, you're not just driving too close, you're also reading syntactic information. So there you go. That's not an actual bumper sticker. I made it. So I could produce those and sell them at a reasonable price if anyone would like. Must syntactic information be in an alphabet? Well, I would say probably not. There's different ways of doing it. Would a color count? Green, red, blue, yellow, green, green, yellow. What about a nucleotide base? Could that be a form of syntactic information? These are all definitional questions. I don't have to answer these. That's the great thing about definitional questions. We can answer them however we want, but those are good questions to ask. TGA, genetic code. We put letters from an alphabet on the nucleotide bases in the genetic code. Does that make it syntactic or not? Those are all questions worth asking. What about Shannon information? Let's spend a little bit more time on this one. Well, Shannon information pertains to syntactic information where you have a fixed character set with characters in a sequence. And once you have that fixed character set, you can start talking about the probability of the specific string of characters that you've got, okay? So some letters might appear more than others. Maybe you'll find that E appears 13% of the time, or Q is nearly always followed by U. This can all give you probabilities on the likelihood of getting certain letters, and this can help you to calculate the Shannon information. So a quick tutorial on measuring Shannon information. This might help a little bit for folks who don't have a strong background in information theory. Shannon information is measured in bits. bits are represented by the variable I, and you calculate it by the negative log base 2 of the probability. So if you think back to your high school pre-algebra or pre-calc where you were learning logarithms, how do we calculate log base 2? Oh, it's easy. It's easy. You can just Google it. No. So this is the general rule for logarithms. The log base a of x equals the log base b of x over the log base b of a. So we can use this because calculators typically calculate things in log 10. And so you can use this in with your scientific calculator to calculate log base 2. So if we use probability instead of x, then the log base a of the probability equals the log base b of the probability over the log base b of a. You can calculate bits as follows in terms of base 2. The log base 2 of the probability equals the negative log base 10 of the probability divided by the log base 10 of 2. And of course, that's just a constant. So you're always dividing by that number. So let's do a little tutorial of calculating Shannon information in binary code. Each character in binary code has two possibilities, 0 or 1. And the probability of any character is therefore 0.5. You got a 1 in 2 chance of having a 0 or a 1. So to calculate the Shannon information at any specific point on a string of binary code, you have the negative log base 2 of 0.5, which is equal to the negative log base 10 of 0.5 over the log base 10 of 2, which equals 1. So every single position in a string of binary code carries one bit of information. So the string 00110 contains 5 bits, and 5 bits, however, this is important, this doesn't tell you anything about the content or the meaning of the string, okay? It just tells you about, reduces the uncertainty of how much information is being carried by that string. Could be a random string, could be a very meaningful string. These could be the nuclear codes for, you know, launching an attack on a country, or this could be the winning lottery numbers, or it might not be telling you anything. 5 bits doesn't tell you about the content or meaning of the string in Shannon information. Bits are merely a convention of quantifying information. We could use some other measurement if we wanted. And Shannon information is only concerned with a reduction in uncertainty. It's not concerned with the content or the meaning. So again, a random string might have equal Shannon information as a meaningful string. So the purpose of Shannon information is basically to help measure the fidelity of transmission of information. What the transmission says doesn't matter. Consider this 22-character string, which I generated from random.org. This is supposedly a random string. That has 103 bits of Shannon information if you assume there are only capital letters and an equal probability of all letters. Now consider this 22-character string. This is a non-random string. That's clearly not a random string. And it also has 103 bits of Shannon information. So there you go. Shannon information, random and non-random strings, will have about the same amount of information. Does not help you distinguish between functional and non-functional information. This is a quote from Nobel Prize-winning scientist Jack Sostak. He says, classical information, he's talking about Shannon information, does not consider the meaning of a message defining the information content of a string of symbols as simply that required to specify, store, or transmit the string. And he actually says, talking about the context of biological information, a new measure of information, functional information, is required to account for all possible sequences that could potentially carry out an equivalent biochemical function independent of the mechanism used. Shannon information doesn't quite capture the special nature of living organisms or other designed structures.
Once again, that was Casey Luskin talking about the taxonomy of information. Stay tuned for more episodes. For ID the Future, I'm Sarah Chaffee. Thank you for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2015. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.